This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this free-for-all Friday. Of course, it's the day when we talk about what you want to talk about. So let me give the numbers out again so we can get the ball rolling. The numbers are 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And the list of topics is long. We just got the latest today in the Justin Trudeau Roadshow, giving out billions and billions of our tax money, releasing in dribs and drabs what is going to be in Tuesday's upcoming budget. So is that going to buy your vote with your own money, perhaps? And what do you think of the things he's been announcing? A lot of initiatives for housing, and they are, of course, initiatives that other levels of government have to be on board with, because guess what? Housing is not a federal responsibility. There are a few other examples of that as well. And speaking of things, so have you noticed the carbon tax? Have you noticed when you go to fill up your gas tank or on any other things that you have to buy? Well, guess what? Who of all people is backing off support for consumers paying carbon tax? Yep, Jagmeet Singh, the NDP leader. He says, yep, carbon tax for industrial polluters, really a great idea, but for people, not so much. He's even recognized that there are people who can't change their entire heating systems, who can't change the way they get around, get to work, get to their medical appointments, wherever they have to get to. It's kind of interesting. I guess he, like everyone else, has been reading the polls, and the polls are not very good for the governing Liberals. What do you think? I mean, it's a long time till the next election. Will this ongoing roadshow change anything? And there are a bunch of things at the municipal level. A week ago today, we were all talking about the vacant home tax fiasco. We were talking to people who declared that they live in their homes who were still getting these huge tax bills. There were people who simply forgot to make that attestation or whatever you call it again, fill in the form and send it in saying, hey, yes, I live in my house. Now, apparently, a lot of the problems have already been reversed and were reversed by the beginning of the week. The city council says that they've sent out letters. You wouldn't have received the letter yet, but if you go online. So I want to hear from people who were affected by that, whether their particular problem has been rectified. Also at the city level, we got some very eye-popping numbers, granted, from a dissenting group, Ontario Place for All, about what taxpayers are paying for that big, huge Therme spa that is planned for Ontario Place. They say that taxpayers are paying $1 billion. Therme, the private company that will reap all the profit, is just putting in $450 million. We, of course, don't really know, because it is a very secret 99-year lease of public land. Is that the right thing? Is that the right way that the government should be going? I mean, we've already seen a fiasco at the municipal level with the FIFA games. We don't know the details of that, and the costs keep going up and up and up and up. So what do you think of all of that? Again, the numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let's go to Josette in Toronto. Hello, Josette.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share a time that I had last weekend. I was extremely uncomfortable. I was at the Nathan Phillips Square. There was a rally there for Israel, asking for the release of the hostages. And so there were several hundreds there. And in back of us was a very small group of people, maybe about 25 people, that were there to protest, which is fine. However, it was very, very uncomfortable. The pro-Israel just had a microphone. It was very, very hard to hear anything that they were saying because the other people had ghetto blasters, music, and bullhorns, and which I guess they're allowed to have, but I just found it so uncomfortable. We tried to sing O Canada, and they were blaring us out. And anyhow, it got to be so uncomfortable as they were screaming at us about horrible things that Israel is doing. Eventually, I left quite shakingly, and going to the subway station, I was really very upset, and actually a police officer helped me go there because the screaming was so loud, and so it was just very, very uncomfortable. They're so angry, so full of hatred. I just said to myself, how are we going to live with these people when this is all over?
Ms. Josette, I thank you so much for sharing that story. And yeah, you're right. I don't think there's anything illegal about drowning people out. It's just incredibly rude. And of course, some of the things that are said there are truly hateful. There is a problem with that, but, not necessarily something that people can actually hear and nail down and all of that. But thank you for sharing that. There's been a problem with some of those protesters, those pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas protesters, intimidating people, getting real up close, blocking infrastructure, blocking hospitals, blocking roads. All of that is illegal. And what happened was, especially with this incident with the letter of the counselors coming out and slamming police at actually enforcing the law and saying, gee, these protesters have to be left alone. They are allowed to protest. And when the cops actually started enforcing some of the illegal stuff including assault, then they got all upset. Well, they've been used to getting away with doing whatever, but I'm sorry your experience was that difficult. It's nice that there was a big protest and it was peaceful, the pro-Israel protest. Of course, since then, Hamas has refused to release hostages as part of a ceasefire deal. Thanks, Josette, for your call. And let's go to Daniel, wants to talk about the new disability fund that is apparently in law, but I'm not sure that anybody's going to see it anytime soon.
Yeah, I'd like to just call in and say that I remember keeping up with this bill. It's Bill C-22. It's the Canada Disability Benefit Act, and it's been promised by the Liberal government from 2021. And I'm a person with disability, and I've been waiting for, 3 years now for this benefit. And at a provincial level, the rates that are there are just unlivable. I'm sure lots of people know, and they call in, and they've probably spoken about this on ODSP and whatnot. I'm not sure about other provinces, but I find it really wrong that they've waited this whole time and not to include it in, and if they don't include it in the budget, I'm saying it would be wrong.
Well, it's,
in my opinion.
Well, let me just add to that. So it was passed into law last June,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah, not June, yeah.
So the liberals, unfortunately, have a history. They will announce some grand plan with a lot of money attached, but then you have to reelect them once or twice or who knows how many more times before you actually see any of that promise, if you see it. And also this week, there was a poll done for the Daily Bread Food Bank, which shows that a majority of people are in favor of this benefit. So, Daniel, I wish you the best. I hope we see it in Tuesday's budget, but it hasn't even been re-announced, which is another thing that all governments do. They make an announcement and then they re-announce it six times to make it sound like it's something new. But, you know, we'll see if it is in there
on Tuesday. I hope it's included for a lot of people. I know in the nation are struggling. I think they've done the right thing by putting this in force, but I just hope they include it. And, like you said, 9 out of 10 Canadians agree, so it should be included. And I do agree with them. I mean, it's a very big part of getting people out of poverty that can't help themselves, right? So.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Let us go to, excuse me, Paul in Burlington, who is a first-time caller. And gee, I'm sorry again, I have forgotten my bell, so ding, ding, ding. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good. I want to talk about all the litter and garbage that is along our major highways. It's an embarrassment when you drive along and you look on the side of the road and all that garbage and stuff that's strewn all over the place. You go to other countries and you see that it's much, much cleaner than what we have. And it's an embarrassment for Toronto being a world-class city and the GTA. It's totally an embarrassment. And we need the Ford government to, I don't know, whether it's chain gangs or people on unemployment or welfare, we've got to get our people to do some community hours and clean up our litter and garbage along our highways.
Yeah, if it's a highway, it's a provincial responsibility, not a city responsibility. But what are you referring to specifically? Any particular highway?
Oh, it's all the highways, Libby, whether it's the 401, the 403, the 406, you drive along. You come to the exits and you get on the secondary roads in the city and there's garbage there all over the place. It's just all over the place and it's an embarrassment. You bring people here from Europe and they look around and they just sort of shrug on how it's an embarrassment. And we keep saying that Toronto is a world-class city in the GTA and it's unfortunate. And it seems to have gone downhill in the last years. I guess it's budgetary cutbacks. But we've got to do some community service and get some of our people on unemployment and welfare and do some community hours, and they need to pick up garbage.
Okay, thanks for that. I don't know what the solution is, but yes, a lot of us, I hate to date myself, but I remember when Toronto inside the city was a really clean city where there was no litter, and that changed. It changed a long time ago, but that certainly is no longer the case. Let us go to Dennis in Toronto. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Libby. Good afternoon.
What's on your mind?
It's so homeless. And why don't the governments in power declare a state of emergency so resources and funding can go towards it very quickly?
Homelessness. I didn't hear. I know you want to talk about that. I didn't hear your first comment there.
Why does the government that be do not declare a state of emergency so funds and, you know, they can put that towards homelessness instead of soccer games?
Well, I think it is in some places has been declared, but are you referring to homeless encampments? Is there anything specifically that you want where you think there needs to be more attention?
Well, getting people into not just shelters, which are very unsafe. There's actually been murders in them this year. And I've been homeless since last September, had a crisis
group. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. A crisis group trying to get me in to no avail. And if they can't get me into any home or any temporary place, even shelters have said no room. And if a crisis team who works with the government, and even they said their hands are tied to a point, can't help me, who can?
Where are you sleeping?
Inside of a tent outside.
Oh, dear. I'm very sorry to hear that, Dennis. And
that's okay.
I hope
there's a lot of people in a lot worse situation than me. I'm, you know, I can survive. I'm used to camping. I've spent a lot of time up north. I have a tent inside a tent, several sleeping bags, a butane cooker.
That's dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing it since September and haven't started a fire yet. Mind you, okay. The fire department did come by when I had an outdoor one to warm up, and they were very sympathetic, and they said, sorry, we have to put this out. It's illegal. And they understood my position, and they even said, where are you getting your drinking water? You're so close to our station. You can come by and fill up any time.
That's nice of them. You know, there are encampments near our studios, and there are fires there, and people are hurt, and people die in some of those fires, or they have died in the past. So they really are unsafe. Dennis, thank you for sharing your story, and I hope things work out for you. I really wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, and thank you for putting me on the air.
Okay. I'm looking at the clock. It's time for our first break. Before we go to break, let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740, and we will be right back with more of your calls and your comments.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. Let me give you the numbers again, because of course it's the day when we talk about what you want to talk about. And there is a lot on the agenda and on the table today. The numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And I'm going to take a call from Mike in Toronto, who wants to talk about the carbon tax. Hello, Mike.
Hello, and thank you very much for your show. It's great.
You're very welcome.
Quick comment on the carbon tax. There's a lot of people on both sides saying we shouldn't have it, we should keep it, whatever. But I'm a retired engineer, and I'd like to see somebody say, well, it's working or it's not working. And I haven't seen that. So it should be fairly easy. Somebody can go to Stats Canada, find out, is gasoline consumption gone down or diesel consumption? Or somebody should be able to prove this fairly easily.
Well, and it's only been in place. The latest increase in the carbon tax has been in place since the first of the month. So I don't know, maybe best to wait a little bit. But yeah, it's been around before this increase.
There should be having some effect rather than just saying, well, we like it or we don't like it. That kind of thing. I think it's turned into a political, into a redistribution program. If I program on the CBC, they showed where the money gets rebated, and most of it goes back to lower income people.
Well, exactly. If you want to do redistribute income, then be upfront about it and redistribute income. But I can't see when they keep saying you're going to get back more than it costs you. I can't really see that. That's because it's taxpayers' money, our money.
That doesn't work. But I think there's enough. We've got 2 or 3 years of this tax. Somebody should be able to say it's working or it's not working. And then we'll go from there. That's all I have. Anyway, thank you very much, Libby.
Okay, you're very welcome. Yeah, and government agencies are supposed to do everything based on evidence, right? So that is a very good, excuse me, and very practical suggestion from the caller. Let's go to Susanna in Thornhill. Hello, Susanna.
Hi, Libby. I'm a first-time caller, but a long...
Oh, okay. I keep forgetting the bell on Fridays.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to make a comment regarding our hospitals. I happened to have surgery 2.5 weeks ago, and I was in the hospital for 5 days. I am home. First off the bat, I want to say the nurses are terrific. They do a wonderful job. But everything else leaves a lot to be desired. Hello?
Hello, yes. How so? What else? What was the problem?
Well, first of all, when did this co-ed rooms come into effect?
What?
Yes.
I've not heard of that.
Well, I hadn't since they put me in one.
Oh, dear. Which can I ask which hospital it was?
Yes, you can ask. It was Sunnybrook.
Okay. I didn't know about that.
I didn't either. I was very surprised. I asked, you know, since when do we have co-ed rooms? And, like, they really couldn't give me a great explanation. They just said, oh, it's been a while. And they said, and we're not the only hospital that's doing this. I thought, oh, okay. I wasn't sure that there are a lot of people out there that are aware of this.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think you're right. People are not aware of it. So, Susanna, thank you for making us aware of it. But let me ask you, how are you doing?
I'm coming along. I had aortic valve implant. So I'm coming along slowly, but coming along, thank God.
Thank God. And are you getting some home care?
No. No, because I have my husband and my children live nearby, so I guess I really wouldn't qualify for any. But we're managing. And the other thing...
Yes.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
The only other thing also, they seem to have a lot of shortages of stuff. It's hard to get an extra pillow. You're lucky if you get a pillow, and you got to hold on to it. Otherwise, forget it. I couldn't get a second pillow. I needed an extra pillow. I could not get a pillow. There are shortages of pillows.
Okay, well, let's put that maybe on the not-so-urgent category. I'm sorry you didn't get a pillow. I'm glad you're healing very well. Thanks for your call. And keep the calls coming, people. Let us go to Wendy in Ontario. Hello, Wendy.
Hi, Libby. I hope you're doing well overall.
Thank you.
I've listened to you guys for a good couple of years now. I just have a comment on the homeless and the situation, and for myself personally, on my comp disability, I'm under a very small threshold of low income, and I've got a place from April till October, but in the winter I become a homeless situation, and if it wasn't for a friend who I'm able to go to a small cabin, I'm okay. But I personally, I know 4 people, personally me, just me, that are have been living in their vehicle all winter. One is a hardworking woman who works a night shift. One is a gentleman who's unfortunately in a domestic situation where he's the victim. The two others, so they're not people that are down on the social system. These are hardworking people trying to get on with it. And they have been living in their vehicle all winter and are still actually living in them now. But it's warmer weather, and such is the way it is. One is out towards the Napanee area, Belleville area. One's a little bit north of here. But those are people in my world, and that are four. And I don't have a lot of people in my world. So it's things that are unseen, but it's becoming quite desperate out there.
Well, thank you for telling us about it. It is very disturbing, and I'm sorry about your situation, and thank goodness you have a good friend who can help you out.
Yes, and also, like, I mean, I could comment on the medical, because I'm that friend, I'm that person that came down to meet you a couple times, Wendy, and I was on the walker, and I've had the medical things, and the doctors this, and so I've got stories in all the levels. I'm doing okay in my own situation, because I have no choice. I'm by myself. I make things or I stay quiet. But as I said, these hardworking people that I see out there, I mean, even a family that I saw when I was in the low-end grocery store area, she had to put a couple of things back. And they went, oh, no, and the little ones want it. So there's so much going on. It's just the big stuff is taking over and the little stuff is getting overlooked, I think.
Okay, thank you for that, Wendy. Let's go to Barry in North York. Hello, Barry.
Good afternoon. I was watching an interview with Stephen Harper the other day, and one clip had said that even when he was in power, he knew that the carbon tax was not an environmental policy. It was purely an economic policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wouldn't have been in favor of it, yeah.
Well, I know he wouldn't have been in favor of it, but he said that's it was never... it was never a way to clean up the environment. It was a way for the government to make extra money.
Okay, well, that's definitely his opinion and your opinion. Are you upset about the carbon tax?
Oh, I am. I think they actually should be doing taxing the people, not the people, but the big companies that are making the pollution, and not look towards the people that are struggling, taxpayers. They don't do that because he's afraid of upsetting big business. I say that the sooner we get him out, the better. But no, it's not doing much for the environment at all. There are other things he could do. But thanks for asking, and have yourself a good weekend.
Thank you very much. And on that note, as I mentioned at the top of the show, of all people, the NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh, saying he no longer agrees with putting a carbon tax on consumers, on regular people doing regular things. He thinks it should be limited to big industrial polluters. And like I said, probably... he's looked at the polls. The Liberals are sinking like a stone. This carbon tax is really unpopular, though they keep telling us that we're going to get back more than we pay. I don't know how that works with a tax. It seems to be an income redistribution. And Jagmeet Singh, the NDP, even the NDP is saying they are not in favor of it. What do you think of that? Let me give the numbers out again, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And speaking of the carbon tax, has it impacted your regular bills? The cost of gas is much higher. It is, the last time I looked, the last time I paid, it was $1.63, $1.64 for a liter. That's a lot more than it was the last time I filled up. I don't fill up that often. I have a small car, unlike most other people on the roads. I've talked about this before. It drives me a bit. Drives me a bit nuts, but the size of the vehicles that people drive, I mean, it's huge. A lot of them look like military vehicles. Why do people need that, especially people who may have environmental pretensions? And even in the city, when you go into a private for pay parking lot with the size of the spots, are not meant for those huge vehicles, and you're trying to jam wedge in your tiny little car and pay a big price for the privilege of that. So, yeah, what do you think of that? And it's very stressful to be out driving, certainly in Toronto these days, and with the rain. I mean, come on, people. This isn't the first time it's rained, but with the rain, then it really gets difficult. So if you have anything to say about congestion, about all the construction, we heard about the new construction, the new shutdowns on the Gardiner. What a headache that is. I'm only talking about driving in the city. So that's another thing that you can call in to vent about. We're here for you. The numbers, 416-360-0740, toll free, 1-866-744-740. Let's go to Tony in Brampton. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. This nonsense about capturing carbon and preventing carbon, what happens when the permafrost melts and releases all that methane gas, which is 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide? And another thing, we should start limiting the size of the motors of cars. No more 600, 700, 800 horsepower. Limit them down to 200 horsepower. And if you ration gasoline, you will force the automakers to make smaller, more compact cars.
Well, presumably what we've done is give them huge incentives to make electric vehicles, but the take-up on electric vehicles is not that much. And we just heard that an entire Ford plant, which was or is getting huge subsidies, presumably for jobs, has delayed their retooling to electric vehicles. So where does it leave those workers? I mean, I don't know about all this corporate welfare we give out. Tony, thank you very much for your call. And it is time to take another break. Let me give the numbers out again before we go to break. We'll take your calls and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. We've been talking a bit about the carbon tax. We haven't really talked about the letter signed by six city councillors telling the police they have to make sure to let peaceful protests happen. I thought they're doing that. They were accused of using excessive force the weekend before last, and they showed and they said they only used necessary force. They were being assaulted. There were a bunch of other illegal things happening, not by all the protesters, but by some. And like I said, these protesters are used to doing whatever they want and having no consequence, whether they were uttering a death threat, intimidating people. There were cases of assaulting police officers and on and on. So no wonder they were upset when some people were arrested. Anyway, lots to talk about. We're taking that break and we will take more of your calls and your comments when we come back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday, and I am going to take some of the calls that are piling up, and let's continue on this carbon tax theme. We've got Larry in Bowmanville. Hello, Larry.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
We're fine. Go ahead, please.
Yes. There's been a lot of discussion about the carbon tax and a lot of discussion about climate warming, but no one is saying, you know, why do we have all these fast food joints that are catering to people that are sitting in lineups that go on for, 20 or 30 deep sometimes? I mean, you look at McDonald's, you look at Tim Hortons, for instance, and all these people are lined up, and their engines are running, but nobody seems to be saying maybe we should be cutting back on fast food joints.
You're right. There are people in those long lineups and they're idling or whatever they're doing. So what do you think? They should be banned or what?
Well, I'm thinking that it shouldn't be so convenient for people to be able to get their takeouts from the various stores that they have. I mean, right now, if you go to a Tim Hortons where I am, the priority is for the drive-in. The priority is not for the people that are inside the store waiting to get their orders. It seems to be geared that way.
Yeah, I mean, those are private companies and they do what they do, but you're absolutely right. They take up a lot of real estate and there are people there idling their vehicles and getting the drive-through because people don't want to walk. Thanks for that. Another thing, what can I say? There's so much. Let's go to Diane in Scarborough. Hey, Diane, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thanks for taking my call, Libby. I've been thinking about all the homes that they're trying to build for, anyone concerned, but they're probably going to be heated by gas. And my thought is, why not have green energy? You know, we can save 30 to 50% on energy consumption if they go green. They can use heat pumps. There's two different types of those that you can use for heating and air conditioning. Or they could put solar panels on. And it would save the new home buyers, from converting to the green energy down the road, say 10 or 15 years from now. Just do it now and save on energy and pollution by installing something that's efficient or more efficient than what it is today. It's been on my mind for a few weeks, and I'm thinking there's got to be a way. So I just thought I'd make that suggestion.
Okay, thanks. I'm not sure any builders are listening. I'm not sure how much of these grand plans are actually going to materialize. How many homes are going to be built? How many affordable homes, really? I'm not sure about that either, but it sounds like an interesting and probably quite practical suggestion. Let's go to Brad in Toronto. Hi, Brad.
Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to say it's always a pleasure to listen to your show and to your radio station. And
Thank you.
I'm calling just to comment further on the gentleman who was calling about the garbage in the highways. I can remember a time in Toronto when you would not see a scrap of paper on the streets, no matter where you went. And I don't know what it is, if people have lost pride in themselves or what, but certainly... that's really all I have to say, and I wish you a pleasant day.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was saying the same thing. Hate to date myself, but I remember when the streets were really clean, and I don't know what's changed, but certainly that happened a long time ago. There's been a lot of litter for a long time, and do you remember that controversy in John Tory's time with the litter baskets on the street, which are overflowing, and it's some kind of contract, and city workers don't empty them. It's something to do with the terms of the contract. I can never remember all the details, to be honest, but it seems ridiculous. Overflowing garbage cans on the street. Anyway, there is a lot to talk about. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. Let's go to Henry in St. Catharines. Hello, Henry.
Hi, Libby. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in on this whole fourplexes, you know, and the stance the province is taking and not even considering it. I think that the province should reconsider it. I mean, you know, we're in, you know, tough times when it comes to housing. A lot of homeless people, you know, and I think they should reconsider it. They're being a little too selective, in my opinion, and, you know, not allowing fourplexes carte blanche and leaving it to individual municipalities. This is a decision they could show leadership in, you know. Anyway, that's the main thing I wanted to convey today.
Okay, a lot of people would agree with you. So first of all, there's fourplexes and there's fourplexes. There are fourplexes that involve four stories and a big build going to the edge of the property. And there are fourplexes where there's a gut job and you get four units in what used to be a great big house. So there's a big difference between those two things. A lot of people like fourplexes, and I was at a meeting the other night and I heard about, hey, how are people getting around certain rules if they want great big monster homes? And then they say sometimes they say, okay, it's a multiplex, and they build a tiny little unit in the basement and a great big house. So, you know, when there's any rule, people will find out how to take advantage of it. That is definitely for sure. But that's one of the things when Doug Ford said no fourplexes, he got a lot of people up in arms, and he wasn't very specific. And then he said it's up to the municipalities. He talks to the mayors every day, so he says. Not all the mayors are thrilled with him, I have to say. So, fourplexes, is that an issue for you? We still have a little bit of time left in the show. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And let us go to, boy, David in Thornhill wants to complain about all of us complaining. Hello, David.
Hi, Louie. I enjoy your show, but Canadians live in a great country. We don't have bombs dropping on us. Yes, we're paying $1.60 for gas, but they're paying $2 in Vancouver. So, you know, look on the bright side, and if you're going to have an issue, come up with a solution, a solution that will actually work. I've heard some of your commentators this morning, and they actually did have solutions that would work, and that's positive. But so many times I listen to the show, and it is just complain, complain, complain. We Canadians have to get over that and start looking more forward than backwards. That's my comment. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, so let's mention a couple of very positive things that happened this week. On Monday, we had the eclipse. I had a fabulous eclipse experience, went out to Burlington with my husband on the waterfront, and it was a little obscured, but it was awesome. It's the only word I could use to describe it. And a very positive story that ended in a positive way. Yesterday, we had a senior with dementia wandering off. Very concerned family. The police got involved. The community got involved. And he was found safely and returned to his family. And that is the outcome that everyone was hoping for. And there, that's a positive thing about communities coming together, and a good outcome comes from that. And I also want to wish the best to his family for that. That was really something that, you know, warms the heart. What can I say? Let's get back to the phones. And people, feel free to complain. Feel free to vent. That's what we're here for. Let's go to Raymond in Etobicoke. Hi, Raymond.
Hi. The trouble with all that litter started many years ago. You could only buy pop in a glass bottle in the corner store, and milk was glass bottles. There was a deposit, I think it was 2 cents and 5 cents, on those bottles. So kids, maybe me too, you'd watch as you're walking somewhere and you see an empty bottle that somebody couldn't be bothered, you pick it up and you take it to the store.
Right. There are still people, if you put out bottles, there are people who can use some extra money who will take the bottles from your recycling or wherever, and they'll get a deposit back.
Yes. Yeah. A friend of mine, he puts his wine bottles and whatnot out early, and he sees they're gone. But the thing with pop bottles, there was no tin cans. You know, all your pop was in glass bottles and all your milk. And so, as I say, kids would go after anything laying around. And, well, you see the litter containers, it's terrible. Some people blame the parents. No, you can't blame the parents. It's gone two generations. There's litter containers. You're standing in the bus shelter, and here's a child throws a candy wrapper on the ground, and the father's standing there. Doesn't say anything to him, because everybody's so used to just throw your garbage anywhere.
Okay, Raymond, thanks for that. The good old days, but I have to say, those garbage cans, litter cans that are on the street, they are disgusting. I wouldn't want to touch them. I don't throw the litter on the street. I usually put it in my pocket and then empty it when I get home. But those garbage cans, you don't want to touch them, really. They are something else. Okay, let's go to Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Libby. You know, let's face it, if a carbon tax is really going to be effective, it needs to go up about quadruple, 10 times over. Because unless it's going to do something, I have to have cold showers. I can't wait in a line to pick up my coffee. I have to stop heating my house. I have to stop driving my car. So basically, I have to give up the whole quality of my life to save this planet. The climate's not changing. This is the biggest hoax. This is the same hoax that COVID was. A bad flu was an apocalypse, and now this global warming thing is just a way to control us and tax us to death.
Okay, Bill. Well, I think there is some science saying there is a problem with the climate, and COVID was not a hoax. Thousands of people died of COVID before there was a vaccine. And the current strain, thank goodness. You know, it's interesting. Last night, my husband was asking me, did I think that COVID was over? And my answer was, yes, I do think it's over, and it's becoming something chronic with different strains. And I also said, boy, if there's a booster shot or whatever, let's get it. But I do think the worst is over. But I also do think, there's no question, it was not a hoax. It was terrifying, and thousands of people died, and there are still thousands of people who have long COVID. So to say that it was a hoax, even if you personally did not have a bad experience of it, I think that's just wrong, and the evidence does not support it. Okay, Sita has been waiting a very long time to talk about shopping carts. So, Sita, we can have a quick comment on shopping carts.
Thank you so much, Libby. You're doing a great job. And I'm so sorry to hear about other people's situation. I wish more will be done fast for them. About a shopping cart, it's just another way the stores are robbing the customers. Nofield used to give those coins for those shopping carts free, and now they want $2 for a loony. And they have the nerve to justify this by saying it's going for charity, but they are claiming it on their income tax, and they are using customer money to donate for donation.
Wait, you don't get the toonie back after you stick it in, after you put the shopping cart back?
No, they have this coin now that they want to sell for a toonie instead of a loony. You can still use your loony and you get it back. but Nofers wants to sell a loonie for a toonie, and it's a different coin. It's a special coin.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, you always have a choice to shop somewhere else. I agree with you on one thing. It really annoys me when stores want me to give them money, especially when it is the absolute huge, profitable Loblaw run by the extremely rich Westons, and they want my charitable donations so they can get a tax receipt. No, thank you. I'm happy to give to charity, but I will do it on my own or with someone else. I really find that just beyond the pale. On the other hand, charities love it. I remember when I was on the board of a certain charity, the idea of getting to be the designated charity at a grocery store, well, that was like manna from heaven, because all those $2 that they want to add to your bill or on the toonie or the loonie, they do add up, Sita. So do you ever donate? Uh-oh, Sita, I am so late. I'm sorry going on about that. I'm going to say goodbye to you, and that's all the time we have for Fight Back for today and for this week. I'll be back on Monday. We'll talk then.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.